Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hala Citron, and I am so happy that you've chosen to spend this hour with us. So this show is a space to inspire, connect, and share stories. That's what the space is all about. And to give a little backstory on where the podcast was born from, it's born from the mission of my company, which is I Am Creative, which is to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, and to empower people of all ages, especially adults, to realize their own talents, which come in so many different forms. I am glad you're pretty amazing. So I'm glad that you're here. So I was just at your bio. So let me jump into that. Perfect timing for that. So my inspiring guest today is Sarah DeGeorge. She is a digital marketing specialist who works in paid and organic marketing, public relations, and social media marketing and management to help small businesses find their authentic voice for their audience through a holistic approach. When Sarah is not working on digital marketing, you will find her on a walk at a local park, reading, or working in animal rescue and rehabilitation. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me, and I'm glad that I get to spend my Sunday evening talking with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so glad that you are as well. So is there anything that you would like to add to the bio before we jump into the first question?
No, I think that that's honestly, you know, a well-rounded approach of like who I am on my work ends and who I am when I'm not working. I'm usually like right before I jumped on, I was outside making sure my community cats were all fed and taken care of since it's cold outside. So that's a perfect description of who I am.
How many community cats do you have?
So I take care of some of the ones in my neighborhood. Obviously, there is a transient cat every once in a while that I've never seen before that I will then name and hope to see again. But I have about 5 resident community cats, and they're cats that do not really want to be owned. They enjoy their freedom, but they also appreciate a nice meal or a cat shelter that I build them for, you know, whether it's too hot or too cold. So that's, they're basically like, they're I consider them my cats, but they're not really my cats, and they don't want to be owned by me either. So
okay, but you help them out, so I love it.
Yes.
I know. We're going to dive more into that as we talk around the questions. But before, I want to ask you a would you rather question. So here we go. So would you rather have to sew all of your own clothes or grow your own food?
Oh, my gosh. I would like it's just no question. I would love to grow all my own food. That wouldn't even be a problem for me. I would enjoy that so much. I live in a second floor apartment and I don't have any real space to be able to grow my own food. So this is like a deep desire of mine that when I see what success to me is in the future, it's literally just having a small garden so that I can have fresh fruits and veggies and whatever else. So that one was easy. Although I do enjoy the creativity of creating my own fashion, if you will. The food is just like, it's always, I just imagine myself tending my little garden one day.
I love it. I love it. It's so funny because honestly, as I pick these questions, I kind of find which one I feel resonates and they just kind of jump out at me. So there we go. That makes sense.
Yes, that's just, it's a dream of mine. One day.
Okay, it'll happen. It's going to happen. Visualize it and it shall be. So, okay. So let's dive into the first question, which is, Sarah, how do you define creativity?
So I really define creativity as that space that like are beyond the things you do each day that gives it a little bit of color. So like I'm thinking of when you make tea in the morning, the act of making the tea may not seem creative, but it's like, what do you put in the tea? Do you sing a song while you're making? Is there like a little thing that you do that, you know, makes it your own? And I think that that's kind of what creativity is to me. It's just that little bit of unique flavor that we all bring into even the most mundane tasks. So so basically there's creativity in anything, but that's just how I, you know what I mean? Cause I'll talk to five different people and they'll tell me five different ways that they drink their tea. And it's just like, that's a little bit of their own creative touch that comes from what they saw somebody in their family do, and then they put their own little spin on it, or, you know, something they saw somewhere and they wanted to take a chance and do it. That's just how I define creativity, just that little extra oomph in that space beyond just the act of something, or something being like a, you know, person, place, thing, whatever.
Love that. You actually said it, and I was trying to write it down in the beginning. The space beyond the space. And you said something about color. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The space, more or less like the space beyond the things you do each day that add a little color to it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I want to write it down so I don't forget.
It's very poetic.
It's just very, it is, because it is those little things. And when you were talking about the coffee and or the tea or whatever you drink or whatever it is, the stories that become attached to it, it's like, why do you do that? It's like, huh, why do I do that? And it's,
yeah,
it's because of an experience or because of a story that's connected to it that makes it personal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's just, you know, that's always how, because it's like people think, and I mean, we've, you know, through all of your discussions that you've had with all of your other wonderful guests, you know, it's like you find that like creativity exists in whatever field you might be working in or whatever experiences you might have in your life. So
exactly.
Again, kind of going beyond the quintessential, I don't want to say definition of creativity that's usually attached to, you know, the art forms and everything like that, because everything can turn into an art form if you really try, you know, there is an art form to basically anything if you really try hard enough.
And that's the point is, well, first I want to address this question. So this person said, how many scoops of coffee do you use depends on taste and is creative. Agreed, because there's a varying. Some people like coffee a little bit more mild. Some people like it really strong. So it changes. But to address what you said about, you know, the whole definition thing, the whole mission with what I'm doing, why I love talking to so many inspiring people like you, is we get to have these conversations that allow people to open up their mind, to expand more, to understand that creativity, you know, like I said in the beginning, it goes beyond just drawing and painting, beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, that, like you said, it exists in everything. And I really feel it, and I've seen it, that when people make that realization, all of a sudden this like light goes on and they're like, oh, I never thought of myself as creative. And it changes their demeanor and it changes their understanding and ownership to make them feel good about what they do.
Exactly. No, I absolutely agree. And I mean, even when I say this, without going too much on a tangent, it is something that I even had to come to terms with, because sometimes like I'm like, am I a boring person? Like I sit there and I'm like, oh, like I do things that are unique to myself. There's a little creativity in my life, even if, you know, some of the things I have to do in my job, like data analytics and all that, might seem a little bit more dry. I was like, there's a creativity to even how I do that, because it differs from how somebody else does that. So,
exactly.
So yeah, it's interesting though, with everybody's idea of creativity as well.
And even with that, with like data analytics, the whole, like everybody has different strengths and weaknesses. So I think of like, and I don't know if it is, but I think of this problem solving and this organization and all of that, which is a skill, which is, I find creativity within that, because it's creativity is the formation of an idea or an object. So that's the formal definition.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're creating this data and organizing it and putting it together into something understandable, this visual thing, there's a ton of creativity in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it was one of those things I had to come to terms with. I'm like, but I'm taking this like basically rather dry, you know, piece of data and then turning it into a story that I then need to tell the client that I'm working with as to like you know, if it's like, say, a social media campaign, you know, I have to turn these numbers into a story of like who the people are and what's their demographics and like this, that, and the other thing, and create a buyer persona of, you know, who their target audience is or who their target audience is not. And then you can kind of create a, you know, basically a buyer persona is a semi-fictional, you know, person that we're kind of dealing with so that we get a, you know, an idea of who they are and how we target them with marketing. And, you know, that is creative in a way when you can visualize that person. So
very, because it's like an avatar, right?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Absolutely. An avatar. It's a very interesting process. So I've come to enjoy it. So
yeah. So could you actually tell me what is your definition of holistic marketing? When I read that, I was like, ooh, but if you could put it into words, from your perspective, I'd appreciate it.
Of course. I guess maybe a quick kind of backtracking is like how I came to holistic marketing.
Yeah.
When I'm dealing with a lot of my clients, we come to this idea, like the marketing seems like it's already, you know, it's just like putting whatever it is, their product, their service, their idea out there, but they miss this big chunk of the holistic, because I deal with, like, as you stated, small, mid-sized businesses, mid-sized being, you know, a few more people in the room than just, say, a solopreneur, for example, or a small business owner. And they kind of come in, but they haven't taken all of these pieces of who they are, you know, not just your tangible and digital deliverables, but like, what's your mission? What are your values? You know, how much of yourself do you want to put into your business or your marketing to be able to kind of to attract the audience or the, you know, customers in which you're trying to attract? So holistic marketing is actually the act of really looking at all of the components of like that you have available to you when you begin this marketing journey. Sometimes, you know, our marketing ends up being a much larger task, and, you know, we want to be mindful of our time. So having this kind of like go-to of, okay, here's what I want to put across. Here's how I want to say it. That's the most authentic way in which I can portray it, because I am, say, the solopreneur or the small business. And these are the means in which I'm going to put it out there. So it's, instead of just looking at marketing as like a input output, it's like marketing is almost like a voice of who the entire business is. And it's like almost just an extension of it, which I think is a big part of our marketing and our meaning, whoever's that, you know, is missed, especially when I'm working with somebody, say, for the first time, and where they're like, oh, well, I just thought I would create this one thing and then put it out there. And I was like, but let's take a step back. And like, I want to know who you are. And like, let's start with that. And like, let's build this out so that the marketing is now almost a living and breathing part of your business that, you know, adapts as you adapt and changes. And, you know, everything kind of is working in a whole approach. Did that make sense? I hope it did.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally makes sense. Yeah. Because the whole thing about marketing, which I'm learning a lot more about, and learning from other people who are professionals like you, is the whole, that it's storytelling. And I love the words you use, like authentic and an extension, because people, when they're purchasing something or when they're attracted to something, it's an emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
exactly,
they want to be able to have that connection. They want to be able to feel something and like connect with the story, connect with the person. And it's just, yeah, it's great to have people like you who know how to get that out there in a very clear, understandable way.
Exactly. I was actually talking to somebody. I had done another talk recently, and one of the questions that was presented to me was actually like about marketing and kind of not a scarcity mindset, but this goes into kind of like the holistic, like, what is it about you that's unique? What are your mission, or what are your values? And they were like, well, is it a bad thing if there are a lot of people in the same, you know, like in the same sector as I am, and we're all kind of going up against each other? And I was like, actually, no, that isn't a bad thing, because that just shows that whatever you're doing, there's a need for it. And then I tell the, like, it's called my yellow lab story. And this is going to be kind of a weird stretch, but like, stay with me. So, So there, when I had to get my wisdom teeth removed, I had a whole bunch of people marketing to me when you would like go online looking for an oral surgeon to do your marketing. And you know, they were all really great people, same prices, same, you know, what, you know, the whole procedure looked the same. But the thing that made my oral surgeon unique and why I picked her was because she had her yellow lab pup in her office as a comfort dog. And that was her little unique approach. She was like, you know, this is who I am. And this is kind of me bringing this holistic kind of value to it. I value my dog. I want my dog in the office. If you feel comfortable, he can come in. And I am a huge dog lover. So that was like the selling point, because it was like very, it was a, just like, you could tell that like even her, when you talked, she was very passionate about this dog. So you could see that that came into her marketing. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm just going to market the who, what, where, when, and why. It's like, I have this dog too. And this is what makes me unique. And these are my values. I value animals and I'm bringing it into my practice. And so that was like the differentiating factor and like what made her stand out amongst all of these other individuals who basically were doing the same thing. So it was, again, kind of like that whole approach. It wasn't just, this is what I'm going to help you with. And like, bing, I'm going to take your teeth out of your mouth. It was like, but I'm also going to have a dog that's very cute that you can pet while you're panicking before you go underneath, under, you know, the anesthesia. So I know it's a little bit of a stretch, but it was one of those things where that was that little piece of like, even of bringing that extra little oomph and that holistic marketing that, you know, and I tell people that all the time when I work with them, you know, don't be worried about the competition, because when we take a step back and we look at this whole approach to who you are and what you're bringing to whatever niche you're in or whatever sector you're in, like that's going to be what tells the story and showcases your individuality as compared to somebody who, again, is just like kind of going on and just putting stuff out there because that's what they think marketing is, but they didn't take this whole approach to it. So that's my yellow lab story.
I think it's a beautiful story, and it totally makes sense because it goes back to that idea of feeling and comfort. And you went to her because all those things you said, you love animals, and you knew that she cares about her patients. Because she has an animal there, if they're open to it, if they want that, to make them feel calm, to make them feel, so she wants to make people feel comfortable in order for this procedure that they need to have. So, yeah, it's incredible.
Exactly.
And I know that our, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, go on, no, you go on, sorry.
It's okay, go with the story before you forget your thought.
Oh, no, I already forgot my thought. That's why I was like, oh, no, you go.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
So everybody listening, this is just a real conversation. So this is what happens. But yeah, when our daughter had, she had oral surgery, like both of her jaws were broken kind of thing. And
we went to a few people
and they had to reset it and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I mean, I just hear what you're saying when you brought that up as an example. I went to some people and I was just like, nope, not going to be you. You don't have like a lot of warmth in your voice as my daughter goes under and you do this to her. But the person we ended up to was with, it was a very good listener and very comforting. So yeah.
And it's like, sometimes you just, if it, and I want to take that approach to holistic is also what you bring forward. So, you know, I'm talking perhaps more digital marketing, but a holistic approach is how you interact with your clients. What do you bring even when you're in person, when we're not doing this, you know, online or, you know, just through an ad? Those are also pieces of your marketing. And like you said, you were like, okay, this person was a good listener. Those are those values that they want to bring in. And values are very much so a part of marketing if done correctly. And when you kind of sit down and you're like, well, this is how I want to come across, you know, and, you know, and this is how, you know, even if you aren't the only, say, like player in the, in your, you know, your, you, I don't want to say player, but like person in the business that you're working towards, like if you have somebody who's a receptionist, like making sure that the marketing carries over to other people so that when you talk to that person, you're still kind of carrying that message and those values of your business in a way that everybody is involved.
Right. So, because it's that whole thing of, you know, the first person they speak to is the determiner of how they're going to move forward. So
exactly.
When you're mm-hmm. talking to that person who answers the phone, you want them to have your, like you're saying, which I love the word, you know, your values, your mission from that phone call. Even mm-hmm. if a person is being erratic and yelling or whatever, you need somebody to, that being the client or somebody calling, you need the person answering to be able to handle that and not yell back and that kind of, be mm-hmm. able to handle situations the way you want them to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. It's a very important part. And, you know, and I talk about it from like a small and like I said, mid-sized business standpoint, but a lot of holistic marketing, it doesn't seem like it can be translatable to say a bigger business, but there are definitely ways in which if you have a team and you're a team amongst a bigger business that you could still take these concepts and implement them within your, say, marketing team when you're working on a client project, like maybe having these questions in your onboarding could be a good way to really get the idea of, you know, who they are as a business. Because typically speaking, when you have a bigger corporation, you might be dealing with, say, a smaller startup who's, you know, utilizing your services for their marketing. So it's just an interesting concept that I think is universal. But I will say, since I do work in like in the niche that I work in, it you obviously can get a lot more personal when you're talking to, say, a solopreneur or say the president of a company that really only has like maybe 3 or 4 other employees, where it's, right. you can dive a lot deeper and get to that point. So
I'm thinking of like, you know, first thing that's jumping into my mind is Apple. And
yeah,
like recently, I mean, you always hear that thing of what's your why, and, you know, people, why people want to have an Apple product, because it makes them feel special, or, you know, whatever the reasoning is. But even when a month or two ago, we were waiting in line, and when you were talking about everybody kind of having the same mission, all the employees being a bigger company, the people there were very welcoming as we had to wait in line. Each person that approached was very, very respectful, very patient, very making you feel comfortable in that space. And with a mm-hmm. big company, you know, it just felt nice. Excuse me. Sorry, that was amplified to everybody.
No, but it's true. And like, those are the things where you kind of, when you know how you want everybody to come across, from like, you know, the CEO of a big company all the way to, you know, the managers, all the way down to, say, even the sales associates, if they're all kind of understanding how they need to present the outward, you know, customer service, which is, you know, a form of marketing in those aspects. It's just a great kind of way that you can tell that they're, you know, showcasing, you know, the expectations and, you know, how to approach these types of situations and just how to approach the general population of their customer base in a unified way from the top down.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
I'm sorry.
Go on. No. Go on. Sorry. Podcasts are always interesting with that, where you're like, oh, no, you go on.
So before we get to the second question, so when you're first working with someone, I'm just curious, like, in order to find, like you're saying, that like extra little oomph, how do you kind of dig and find that information? Is it just kind of like questions that you ask people? What kind of process do you take them through in order to find that little thing that makes them special?
Honestly, I want to because ironically, in a way, I am kind of my customer in a way, because I am also a solopreneur. So I kind of take what I learned from my end and I bring it into the discussion with me. I'm not, you know, some person that works, you know, in a different type of situation talking with, let's say, a solopreneur. It's like solopreneur to, say, a solopreneur. So I really want to get to know the person too, because then I can understand, you know, what is going to be easy for them to be mindful and sustainable with their marketing, because you don't want to burn yourself out either. So with your holistic marketing, you want to make sure that it's not attached to who you are, when it's like, because sometimes that could be a little, like, you know, that could be a little seedy if you attach too much of your business to, say, your worth, but attaching it in a way where you're like, this is what I enjoy marketing with. I like Facebook and I like Instagram. I really don't like Twitter. Okay, well, I've had that conversation with you. So let me see how we can formulate a marketing plan where you're having these authentic conversations on Facebook and Instagram. And let's forget Twitter, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be a good fit for you based on what you're trying to get across and like what your values are and what your missions are. You know, it doesn't seem like it's going to add any value to the conversation. So just kind of getting to know them as a person, who they are, talking to them, you know, one person to one person, and taking that kind of personal approach without obviously invading like their actual personal life, attaching that to their marketing goals of their business. I can kind of understand a way, you know, we can kind of talk through the way in which we're going to move forward with sharing their story. Because sometimes a lot of, you know, the time when I'm working with the solopreneur, that's kind of a big part. I'm like, okay, well, how can we turn, you know, this into like a really cool story? Like not just an about me section, but how can we turn this into, you know, a really engaging piece? Like what is unique about you? You know, you're I'm not going to use myself, but you know, I do digital marketing, but then I also do animal rescue and rescue and rehabilitation. So it's like, what are those kind of unique things that will somebody else will be able to kind of get and connect with? So it's just having those really kind of honest conversations. And when I work with the individuals that I work with, we always start our conversation before anything else is like a very, you know, like, how are you doing? And, you know, like those kind of just personal conversations to check in. So it's like, I think that kind of my own marketing is just me being who I am. And then that attracts people that also want to work in that more personalized, like, let's get to the nitty gritty of, you know, this discussion to figure out, you know, how are we going to frame this product or service to take it to that next level and really get in front of the intended audience.
Just to define for, I'm sure a lot of people in here know, but a solopreneur is basically a one person operation. And then, so that's just the definition of that. So yeah, I love that. It's the whole honest conversation thing. And it's just reusing that word again, the values, like getting to what the people's values are in order to then be able to speak to people and have them connect. So yeah. What I've learned through my own journey is learning how to tap into that personalization and kind of create, you know, certain boundaries. But at the same time, it's people want to hear why you're doing what you're doing. I mean, with what I'm doing, I'm passionate about what I do because I've had 30 years of experience of seeing all these different stories on how expression has affected people's lives. So I get pretty passionate about it because I've seen it. So yeah, people want to hear the stories that you've been through in order to be like, oh yeah, that's me too. Or, oh my God, I really want to do that.
And you brought up a very important point too, which kind of taps into the mindful end of being like with your holistic marketing is just like the boundaries that you said. So when I talk about your values and your missions and it being personal, there's also that approach of like, well, how far do you want to take this? It could be as easy as like, I will share, you know, things about what's going on, but I won't name my children's names, or like they won't be in a picture, or like if there needs to be any sort of reason why they need to be in a picture, like if you're trying to be, you know, you're personalizing it, or, you know, there'll be certain things I share, or, you know, I'm willing to be vulnerable if, you know, like I'm going to use COVID, for example. I know COVID has been talked about enough, but a lot of businesses, you'll see all of a sudden they're like, hey, business isn't doing that great. And that was like a very personal and vulnerable post that a lot of businesses that had, you know, maybe it was a restaurant and they had, you know, one or two people owning it. It was a small, you know, a little small mom and pop restaurant. And they had to share those moments during COVID. Like that's kind of where those boundaries come in. How far are you willing to share? What are you willing to share? And a lot of people, it was a very eye-opening, you know, piece of marketing that they were like, hey, we're not doing well. And it, sometimes it really helped. People were like, oh, I'm going to come and I'm going to get takeout from you all week this week, you know? And it wasn't done in a way where it's like, send us money. It was like, hey, you know, this is us taking down that boundary a little bit, but also keeping the boundary up as well. You know, this is how far we're willing to share, you know, but another, you know, way that you brought up that was, that's really important as well when we talk about holistic and mindful marketing.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen, which is, you know, someone, she shared about her miscarriage and she just kind of dove right into, you know, in this whole story. And as you were reading it, it was just kind of like, wow, it's human, you know, and it's part of her story. And she wanted to share that out. So as a, you know, with what she does and everything, like, this is all of me. And I'm willing to show that. So, you know, me as a whole person.
Exactly. And it kind of brings that approach back, because I think we're at this point in our society, which is a lot of capitalism in it, that we're really tired of being sold to in our market. We want to be talked to, and like, we want to have like things where we're a part of the discussion as the consumer, you know, or we want to know what's going on. Because there, I would say, in I'm not going to say this is anecdotal, but there's a lot of distrust in a lot of big corporations right now based on, you know, what information are they gathering on us, so on and so forth. And, you know, what are their practices? So it's like, when you have any, you know, when you have that opportunity to really look within yourself and, you know, be able to say like, hey, this is what's going on. So there's a little bit of transparency. It really goes a long way, because it's like, with your marketing, like, those stories and your copy and your anything is all a really big piece of, you know, whether people are going to continue buying from you or not. And when they trust you, the likelihood of them continuing to be your customer is way higher.
That is so much of the story in so many situations. Just that word trust is huge, like in the classroom. Especially like in so many situations, but I found I've taught inner city for, you know, 25 years, and it's 90% of the issue is trust. Once kids or adults are, once you're trusted, then you can deliver the information, but you need to get to that point.
Exactly, and that's why kind of taking that starting point and building everything out from the back end to then be put to the forefront works better than, again, just kind of saying, well, this is what I'm selling and putting it out there. Because you've already, if you do that and then people see no value behind it or no story or even who you are, then you've already missed that opportunity with whoever X amount of people you already put it in front of before you really went back to kind of take a whole, you know, approach to your marketing. So that's why it's always good to kind of go back this way if you can, or even start here, bring it to the forefront, and then have it there so that as things change, or you're, you know, you add on something new, or maybe you add on a whole new part of your mission, then it could kind of move with you, and it already exists. It's almost like a skeletal system. And again, then like the marketing is where you can, you know, put some fancy clothes on the skeletal system and dress it up a little bit, and kind of, again, where the creativity comes in.
Yeah, that's such a great visual. Yeah, how you change it out. You have the structure, you have the bones, and how you decide to switch it out, but there's the basic bones and structure. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to question two. And everybody's so happy that you guys are on here live. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free to pop them in the message area. So, Sarah, how do you incorporate creativity into your life?
I feel like I incorporate creativity by not letting myself get too down to the status quo of how things should be. And I'm going to use this in the most simple, like the most simple thing that I do that I guess isn't the status quo, but is a little bit creative on my end. I don't match my socks. Right now I'm wearing a pink sock and a blue sock. And like, I walk into like, when we're in office times, like I've done public speaking events and I've walked into corporate offices with unmatching socks that are visibly seen. And I know that that might be like, to some people, like, oh my God, what are you doing? Where are your like black socks or your gray socks. And I'm just like, no, but this is just like who I am. And this is a little piece of like me. And again, going into those situations when I'm talking to these people, and if we're thinking from marketing terms, like this is a part of who I am. And you're either really going to enjoy who I am as a person. I'm a little kooky. I will absolutely admit it. But you know, it's like one of those things where it's not like this overly abrasive way in which I like am creatively, you know, walking in this like this little piece that I can kind of like show up with. Where I'm just like, my socks don't match. It's a talking point if you want it to be.
I love it. Are they patterns generally, or are they just colors?
Yeah, like so. Well, right now they're just colors because they're gonna go. They're gonna go nicely into my slippers after our conversation. So, but if I'm out and about, sometimes like I have socks that have bananas on them, and I have socks that have cheeseburgers on them. So it really depends. But they're not gonna match, and they're not probably gonna make much sense either. It's not like, oh, cheeseburger and fries. It's like no. It's gonna be like. You know, a kiwi and a dog, and you're going to be like, well, that doesn't make much sense, and it's not supposed to.
I love it. You are just totally giving me it. I think my husband's on this and listening, and so a little story about us is we have this communal sock drawer, which is all in his area, and the whole family, which is our the two kids and I, go into his drawer to pull out socks. You just sit up here. So they don't necessarily match, which would completely make him nuts, because then it would leave him, because he likes the socks to match. So with us, the three of us don't really care. So then he's left with all these unmatched socks, and it makes him crazy.
Oh my gosh, I love it. But I got that too. My significant other also likes matching socks, also because he has like a really big shoe size. So his, like, if he's left with my socks, it will not work, because obviously I have very tiny feet compared to him. So he like needs his socks to be in order. So that's why, but sometimes like if I'm in a hurry, I might grab accidentally one of his socks. It must be like an extra large sock, but it's not matching the other sock. But he's like, Sarah, what are you doing? Those are my socks.
But I love what you're saying. It's like those little things, that whole status quo thing where you're making a statement for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly.
Yeah, I remember I have affinity for earrings. I just love earrings. And mm-hmm. when I was a teenager, I would wear two different earrings. And not so much now, but so when I was a teenager, and I went to a friend's house who her parents were very conservative, and she whispered. It was almost like in St. Elmo's Fire, I think, where they're like talking around the
table.
Oh
my god! Oh my gosh, we do that. I have to tell you. I have to tell you that my significant other and I always do the scene where like very wealthy from St. Elmo's Fire. So I appreciate that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interject, but I was like, you get it.
I totally get it. So she was like, do you know that earrings don't match? And I was like, oh my god, really? Thank you for telling me.
Oh my god.
But she was just shocked. It was like that little thing. So that's
no, really, but I love that. I love that, you know, you even, I think that those things are just like those little, like I said, you don't need to, if you want to, then like by all means, you know, showcase your creativity in the way. But sometimes, you know, even if it's something where it's not super outward, like again, that's one thing where I show my creativity is just, you know, through that. That's just like one little thing. I know that there are, you know, probably other things that I do that are creative, but that's just like the one thing that always comes to my mind immediately is just, I'm not wearing matching socks, and so many people bring it up, and I'm just like, yeah, no, this was on purpose. This wasn't accidental. Like I totally picked these out and looked physically at both of them and was like, yeah, this is what we're doing today.
So actually in saying that, I mean, everything is about choice. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you have a choice. I mean, not everything, but a lot of things are. Even when bad things happen or whatever, you have a choice of whether you're going to feel like shit about it or whether you're just going to go on and think of it in a positive way. You get to mm-hmm. choose if you're going to have something to eat or if you're not going to have, generally, you know, what you're going to have to eat, what kind of flavor of ice cream you're going to have, what color your wall is going to be. So there's choices. Mm-hmm. everywhere. Like you said in the beginning, it's like the little things of how you personalize and put your own thing into it. The choices are everywhere.
Exactly. And I feel like those little kind of pieces of the, like those are those little things, like sometimes it's like the outward things are super great, but it's almost like those little things where you just kind of like look down on, like, again, I look down at my socks and I feel a little bit better because I'm like, okay, this is me being 100% authentically me. Or it's somebody that, you know, has a weird food that they like, and they're like, you know what, this is kind of off the wall, or maybe you think it's gross, but I like it. You know what I mean? Something that you can completely feel proud of. Doesn't necessarily have to be, again, creative in like the sense of creativity. It's just being a little bit different in your approach to something, and, you know, just kind of looking at it and being like, yeah, this is me. Or, you know, I wear this really funky bracelet or something like that. And it's, you know, not your usual bracelet that you would wear to XYZ event, but I like my bracelet and it's, you know, it's who I am, or it has a special meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, those, yeah, little, mm-hmm. And I think that that's, you know, the most important thing. And, you know, kind of, again, straying from like the, what we think of when we think of creativity and thinking of it. And just like I said, you know, in the beginning was just like, what is that little thing that makes it uniquely yours? So.
Well, isn't it, I mean, we're all just a bunch of stories, and mm-hmm. even if something, you know, is in the process of happening, then it's the present, what the present, the past, and then the future. So you do mm-hmm. something, and then whether it's happened or not, then you created it. And then it's part of you. Mm-hmm. We all have these stories and choices. It's just interesting if you get all philosophical about it.
Exactly. I like how you said that too. Like we're all just like a bunch of, like we are. Like it's so interesting how every single person, just like your fingerprint, like we all come with such unique stories. Even two people in the same room that dealt with this or that witnessed the same thing or had, you know, were at the same place at the same time have two unique perspectives on, you know, what they saw, what they felt, you know, so on and so forth, but based on also what other stories they carry into that, you know, situation as well.
Right. Exactly. So. Exactly. Because how you react to something is because what you've been exposed to, or, you know, your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So interesting. So you also said that you like reading, and your whole thing with animals. So before, maybe tell us a little bit before we go into our third question, like what you like to read. We'll start with that first.
Yeah, I've actually been really into autobiographies this year. Like I've read the Michelle Obama biography. I read, you know, I've read multiple sports stars' autobiographies that I found on my dad's shelf. you know, like I've just been so interested again in other people's stories and how they differ from my own, match my own, like where do we run parallel with each other. So I've really been enjoying that. I also just read a book that was really good, and it was more of like an inner kind of story. It was called Wintering. I'm the author, I'm drawing a blank on, I feel so bad, but it was a really good story about kind of the idea that of us leaning into those kind of like the wintering, like when we need to lean into ourselves during the bad times, and, you know, instead of pushing them away, and, you know, again, the highlight reel, like really taking that time to learn from them. And I thought it was just, again, it's winter. It was snowing when I was reading it. It just felt very, it was like the perfect scenario of reading it and just finding comfort in the discomfort. So that book was really good. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been reading this year. I, you know, there have been years where, you know, you dive into a lot of self-help books because, you know, you're just really, you know, bogged down mentally. And this year wasn't necessarily one of those years. I really wanted to hear about other people this year instead of trying to figure out myself. So... but yeah, so that's, you know, what I've enjoyed taking, you know, just diving into when I have a free moment this year. But yeah, and then you also brought up the animal.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So that's always been a lifelong passion. I remember I was about 4 and I was with my babysitter. She used to teach jazzercise at our local gym. And it was at night and we were leaving and I found a kitten like on the sidewalk and I made it my life mission to figure out who owned this kitten as a 4-year-old. And I just remember like, I can look back and I was like, oh yeah, that was the moment where I turned into the cat lady, you know, as a 4-year-old trying to desperately find the owner of this kitten. And thankfully I did. It was one of the, you know, houses right nearby. They were caring for the, you know, the kitten and the mom who, you know, but I've always been an animal lover my whole life. So I've really made it my mission. Most of the cats that, well, actually almost all the cats that we had were rescue cats. And by rescue, I mean, they literally were in bad shape and showed up on our doorstep. And we were like, sure, you can come in the house. And I wanted to, you know, being in Philadelphia, there's unfortunately a lot of, you know, animals that are just in very not great situations. So when I'm in a place where I don't have compassion fatigue, which is absolutely a thing, I can be at the front of the lines. I can, you know, involve myself in more of the, you know, being at the shelters and helping out the animals. And then when I take, or, you know, physically helping them out, finding homes for them, you know, I've rehomed so many animals in the past 6 years that I, one of them being my parents' cat, thankfully. So I get to see him all the time. But at the same time, I can also take a step back when I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed and I need to kind of refill my own glass, and I can still be involved with them through my marketing. So I'll do a lot of pro bono marketing help for, you know, the local organizations, like a local cat organization or one of the local rescues, and I'll be able to help them if they need help with their press releases or their social media strategy and so on and so forth. So it's a good kind of like way to be on the front of the lines and then also be able to still be involved but taking a step back as I need, because I'm no good if I am completely just a mess crying in their lobby. So I do need to recharge every once in a while, but I've just always deeply been involved with animals. I have my cats circling around me right now in my kitchen where I'm talking to you from. So I've always been surrounded by animals my whole life. They're a big passion of mine and I care for them deeply. So I will do what it takes to, you know, care for, you know, even if it's more money out of my pocket or my time. Animals have always been that kind of extra part of who I am beyond my work and my hobbies and everything like that.
Totally understand. We always had animals. Growing up, always had animals. And for all the time my husband and I have been together, we've always had animals. And it was kind of like a test, you know, before having children on how we took care of our animals. And our kids know, they're 20 and 17, they know that our first cat, Lucy, was actually before that, but Lucy we consider to really be our first cat. she was our first child.
Oh,
like, we know.
But my every cat. I remember a boyfriend I had in high school, and he walked into my house, and I was sleeping on the floor, and my cat was sleeping on my bed, and he was very confused by this, and I was like, oh, I can't move her. She is so cute. So. That's the level of like, I'm just like, I'll just sleep on my very uncomfortable floor because I really don't want to move my cat. So that's like the level in which like I will like my cats, they're Freddie and Bella right now. Freddie is staring at me saying, you need to feed me in like 10 minutes or else I'm going to start meowing. They're very much so, they know they're spoiled. So it's kind of a monster that I've created for myself. So the only one I can blame for this is myself and my significant other, who knows that he also takes 50% of the blame for how spoiled they are.
Oh, we totally get it. My husband's reminding me of our other two cats prior to Lucy, but it's totally, we'll walk into the living room. It's pretty pathetic. Like we'll walk into the living room and we have a couch that curves around with four chairs that like recliners, and then the cats, so we have three cats, so three of them will be sitting on the reclining part, and there's four of us in the house, and we're like, oh, we can't move Tigger because he's on the recliner. post it someplace else. I mean, what the hell?
I know, you're like, I don't need to be comfortable right now. Or they'll be like on every blanket I own. And I'm like, it's okay. Hypothermia isn't that bad.
Oh my God. It's so true. Totally get it. Oh.
But yeah, so that's my little explanation on animals and it being a little bit, again, of my little extra mission and values of my own life.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful because anybody who's an animal owner or appreciator knows the feeling that goes along with it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Totally get it. So approaching the top of the hour, so let's go on to our third question is, to wrap up, is why do you think that creativity is important?
I really think that, you know, without creativity in whichever form it may look like, there's just like this absolute zest that you miss from so many things in life. If we don't have like creativity, then every store would look the same and every business would look the same and every person would act the same. And it's those creativity and how you do things and how you jazz something up and your own idea of what's going to make something awesome that really makes you who you are. Whether, again, it's your marketing, whether it's the way you decorate your house, or whether it, you know, whether how you make your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know, anything of that, like anything is why creativity is so important and why we need to just kind of be, you know, okay with, you know, those little unique things instead of trying to hide them. You know what I mean? I know that a lot of time people hide those pieces of creativity because of something somebody maybe said years ago or they made them feel bad for it. And it's just like, I know that those things happen and it's happened to me. It's happened to everybody. I just, without creativity, it just, the world just is not as unique and exciting as it can be. So that's why it's like, I really always love when people are okay with their creativity and whatever it is.
I think you brought up a really, really very, very important point, which is of why people hide those unique things, because they mm-hmm. were made fun of in some way or somebody pointed out as a negative. So mm-hmm. often I'd be in a, you know, a teaching situation and when were you told that, has anybody ever told you that you weren't good at something? And all these hands fly up. And then you ask, you know, somebody to share out. And it always goes back to something that somebody said, a side comment that somebody made about something that you wore or the way that you created something. And people don't always have that intention of it being a bad thing when it was said, but it's that whole thing of perception.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's weird how, it's not weird. It makes complete sense. I shouldn't say it like that, but it's just interesting. I mean, there are things like I can vividly remember from my childhood where somebody said something like that. And it's still like, I can feel the hurt that I felt back then. And it's just like, that was decades ago and I can still feel that moment. So it's just like those words really, even if it's just, you know, two kids and kids, really, I would say 8 out of 10 times don't really know what they're saying. And it's not meant to be malicious when it's said like on the playground or anything like that. They just don't know social cues at the, you know, the ages in which some of the stuff is said. But yeah, it's just like amazing how sometimes it does carry over and you're like, oh wow, I'm like much older and I'm still kind of like hiding this thing that, you know, happened so many years ago. And I've had to have some really deep conversations to help me get over some of that stuff still to this day. So I think, like, you know, it's normal again for, you know, if you have gone through something like that, that you would feel that. But I obviously implore everybody, you know, if they're listening, you know, if there is something like, I think it's cool. I know you think it's cool. So hopefully people will tap into that creativity again and be a little bit, you know, feel a little bit more okay with just being who they are.
Yeah, which I think is a beautiful message to, which I want to just put out there to people is notice those little unique things about you. what make you who you are, what makes you expressive in who you are, because those things are important and make you unique. And, you know, that's what it's about is, you know, we all come together and we're all connected in community and all of that, but all of those, you have to kind of know who you are and what makes you tick in order to have that connection with others instead of blending in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So great.
Perfect. So Sarah, why don't you tell people how they can connect with you?
Yeah. So, funny enough, even though I do marketing for everybody, I'm kind of not everywhere the way that most people in marketing would be. I try to keep myself pretty, not on too many places, again, focusing on the quality and not the quantity. So you can find me on my website, which is sardegeorge.com. And you can contact me, see what I'm up to, if you're interested in any of that. And then you can also find me on Instagram at and then sardegeorge. And I share marketing tips, and it's a pretty colorful Instagram. Literally, I make like each block a different color. So hopefully, you know, if you have any burning marketing questions that I hopefully can answer, you can find them there. But yeah, that's where people can easily find me. And I'm always happy to connect with individuals just to talk about nothing or to talk about marketing. I like it all.
Great. I love it, Sarah. And you'll send me the information just so I can then put it into the bio of the podcast. So everybody,
of course. Yes. I'll send that right after this.
Yeah. So wonderful. So Sarah, I'm so grateful and so appreciative of your creativity for getting onto the podcast with the challenges that you were having. So you didn't give up.
I did not. And I was so excited. I was like, this is my goal, because like, I have enjoyed listening to your podcast just as a listener so much, and I've gotten so much insight. So I'm like, no, like, this is going to work. I'm going to figure out a way to work. So of course it was myself getting the email and then sending the link to my significant other, who then text messaged it to my phone, which clicking the link opened up the Podbean app. And then that's how we got here. So it was like multiple people were involved in this. So shout out to Dan in the other room for
shout out
his
to
work.
Dan, thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. Yeah. You see, you never know what goes on behind the scenes. So, yeah. So there we go. So I just appreciate your time. I appreciate all that you do and put out into the world. And this space is all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing stories. So please like, follow, share. Check out I Am Creative, and it's at iamcreativephilly.net. And all of that, again, is in the bio. And check out all that we're doing. Going to have, today is Sunday, so there's the next podcast is going to be next Monday. So a little bit of a break. So happy holidays to everybody. And I look forward to seeing you towards the end of this month and in the new year. So just wishing everybody health, happiness, safety, all that good stuff. So again, Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you as well. Thank you. And I hope you have a happy holiday as well.
Thank you. Thank you. So goodbye, everybody. Have a good night, day, wherever you are in this world.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.